A middle school student who has never been told I love you. A person who is abused. A homeless person who is walked by. A business person who is judged. A sick person who isn't listened to. A depressed person who can't get out of bed in the morning. A lonely person who has lost everyone. A senior citizen who has forgotten everything. What is missing from all of this? Our text this morning will tell us. What's missing is love. Love, 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 love. So while our scripture is being read this morning, I want you to take note of how many times the word love is used. And when I say take note, I actually mean take note because I'm going to ask you how many times the word love is used.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves us or loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of God for the people of God.
All you need is love. Dun, da, 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 da. All you need is love. Da 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 da. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. Did anyone count how many times the word love is used? 14. It ranges between 13 and 15, depending if you count the beloved or not. So it's a little tricky. I was setting you, it was a test. But if you said between 13 and 15, you win. Congratulations. So our text this morning is from 1 John. And these three books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, are sometimes referred to as God's love letters. And even in these first six verses, you can see why. In six verses, the author uses the word love 13 times. To finish out the chapter, the author uses it an additional 14 times. So if I've done my math correctly, which I've checked it a couple times now, that means in 15 verses, the word love is used 27 times. Do you think it might be important? Today is Trinity Sunday, in which we remember the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what a perfect day to talk about love. Because within the Trinity, we see the most beautiful example of love. But before we can begin to look at this passage, we need to realize that sometimes the English language falls flat. In that, I mean, I really love pizza, but I also really love my husband, and I really love sunshine. I could go on about things I love, but do I love my husband the same way I love my pizza? Mark says maybe. I say hopefully not. So we have one word to describe all of these things, but in the Greek language in which this text was written, there are at least four common words for love. The first is philia, and this is a companionable love or a brotherly love. And this love speaks of affection, fondness, and liking, and it is usually reactionary. So I saw this, I remember this happening to me when I found out a boy had a crush on me, and then I all of a sudden had a crush on him because he had a crush on me. That's this type of love. It's reactionary. The second type is agape, and this type of love is not earned, and it is seen as the noblest of loves. It is not reactionary, and it is not obligatory. The third is storge, and this word means a natural affection and is often related to obligation. So my mom loves me because I'm her child. She loved me even before she knew how awesome I was, because I am her child. And the fourth type of love is eros. And this type of love means passionate and is often times encompasses a type of sexual intimacy. So if you were to guess right now what type of love the author is using in this text, which one do you think it would be? Agape. The author is using the purest form of the word when he is talking about love. So now that we know some of the basics, we can focus on the important things. Pepsi or Coke? I'm just kidding. What on earth does this passage mean for us today? Well, it's about love, after all. Love is all you need. Will you read verse 8 with me? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So I ask you, what is love? Well, love is God. We don't have to look much farther than the Bible to find out who and what God is. I'm sure you all know this passage. It's a pretty popular one at weddings. The love is patient, love is kind, that passage. But I want you to listen to what happens when I replace the word love for the word God. God is patient, God is kind. God does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when God comes, the partial will pass away. Do you guys understand how beautiful God is when we think of him as how beautiful love is? When we talk about agape, we talk about God. So the first thing from this text that we know is that God is love. In all that God is, he is love. Second, we learn that God teaches us about love by loving us. You see, in his image, we were made. And God said, this is good. He didn't say, oh, well, I guess it's okay. They're kind of all right. God made man and woman, and he said, this is good. We are each fearfully and wonderfully made. He loved us from the very beginning, before even our great, 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 great grandmother was born. God said, you are good. This means that love is our creator. Love is our breath. Will you read verses 9 and 10 with me? In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is just a different wording of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In the act of God, in all of his godness, becoming man and being willing to die a brutal death so that we humans who are alive 2,000 and some odd years later could experience eternal life and relationship with God. And does anyone remember what last Sunday was? Pentecost! Our youth are learning something in youth group. This is exciting. Last Sunday was Pentecost, which is when God poured out his Holy Spirit onto his people. If God didn't love his people, why would he pour out his Holy Spirit? Why would the Holy Spirit come to us if he didn't love us? He loves us so much that he says, I will always be with you. So we see that God teaches us about love by creating us and sending his Son so that we could have a way to be in relationship with us. And then by sending the Holy Spirit. Will you read verse 11 with me? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Raise your hand if you think this is the only time it says in Scripture to love one another. That was test number 2. Well done. You guys are smart. This is not the only time we see in Scripture that this is the command. The second command, love thy neighbor as yourself. Look at the Ten Commandments. At least five of those ten are about our relationship with other people. Do not murder. It's not just about me and God. It's about me and someone else. Our relationship to other people is imperative. Look at Jesus on the cross. A criminal hanging next to him. Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus prayed for forgiveness. We have been given both the command and an example to follow in regard to loving one another. Yet this is sometimes one of the more difficult things to do in life. It's often easier to be grumpy towards someone instead of loving the people who are mean, instead of loving the people who hurt other people or who only think of themselves. That is hard to do, but unfortunately, it's not optional. Loving those people is a command. Jesus didn't just die on the cross for me. Jesus died on the cross for my fourth grade bully who made fourth grade really terrible. Jesus died on the cross for the person who abused me. Jesus died on the cross for the person who annoys me. He didn't just die for me. He died for everyone. A few weeks ago, the middle school girls and I were talking about gossip and how gossip can be damaging. Not because necessarily the person you're gossiping about will hear, but because when we gossip, we're talking about a child of God. I stress the importance that first and foremost, we have to remember that everyone is a child of God. We love Joe Schmo not because he's really nice, but because he is a child of God. Raise your hand if you're a parent in this room. I need to put my hand down. Has your child ever been hurt by someone else? Was that hard to watch? When we hurt other people, God is a parent in that situation. And he is saying, "Why are you hurting my kid?" That is how much God loves each of us. We are each a child of God. And we love one another because God first loved us. And the beautiful thing about love is that love is God. And when we love, we are actually embodying God. Will you read this verse with me? No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Do you understand what that means? It means when we love someone, we are actually imitating God because God is love. When we love others, we reveal God because God is love. But unfortunately, there's a flip side to this. That is, when we treat others with something other than love, we are actually acting anti-God. When we do the opposite of reveal God, we reveal hatred. It's probably why love is talked about so much in Scripture, because love is imperative. Love is the center of everything we know about what it means to be a Christian. Love is the unifying cord that connects us and holds everything together. You see, love unites the Trinity. Love unites us to God, and love unites us to one another. So why is this command so difficult to grasp and obey? Well, it's because we're broken. We were born with sin ingrained into our DNA, and that sin is so powerful that it causes us to ignore our purpose. It causes us to act counter to love. But I have good news. You see, we're not that different from the world in which the author was writing to in 1 John. We too live in a world that never saw Jesus himself in his flesh and bones perform miracles. We too live in the world where the wrong type of truth is being sought after. We too live in a world where people do not understand love. Do you remember those scenarios I listed off at the beginning? The middle schooler who's never heard the words, "I love you." The senior citizen who's forgotten everything. Hopefully by now you know what is missing. So, what is missing? Love. 3 out of 3. Love is so desperately missing from this world. But when the world hears that love is missing, they think of the wrong kind of love. They think of philia, which is the companionable love, which is a good kind of love. They think of storge, which is a natural affection. And that too is missing. But more than an obligatory or a reactionary type of love, the world is missing an agape kind of love. The kind of love that is only found in God. The kind of love that is God. You see, our text this morning provides us with so much more than words. It provides us with hope. It provides the world with hope. We no longer have to live in bondage of sin. We have the opportunity to live in the freedom of love. We have the privilege to be in a real relationship with God, with love. He teaches us what this true freedom and life marked by love looks like, by loving us. And that this love he so freely pours out into all of us is the reason why we can love others. And we can love because we know who and we know what love is. And by loving, we reveal God. I want you to raise your hand if you know of at least one person who is hurting. Keep your hand raised if you know at least five. Take a look around. There's a lot of people with their hands raised who know at least five people hurting. When we love others, and I keep saying this because this is the point. When we love others, we reveal God. I want you to hear what Jesus commands in Matthew 28. The scripture is known as the Great Commission. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus commands us to love because when we love, we're doing more than that. We're introducing the person we love. We're introducing them to God. Our job is to love so that every single person we come in contact with can experience God. We don't love just because we have to. We love because we know what a relationship with God is like. In just a couple minutes, we're going to have communion. And as we approach this time of communion, I want to ask you to think about the first time you realized how passionately God loves you. Do you remember that moment? If you've never experienced this, you can. This type of love is available for everyone. If you have forgotten how loved you are by the Creator of the universe, hear these words. You are loved. We prepare for communion because of love. Because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send him into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God so loved the world that Jesus had to meet death in order to beat death. And this table is a place where we remember that. This table is open for everyone, just as God's love is open for everyone. So the worship team is going to come, and they're playing this song, and it's called Do Something. You may come forward. And this is the words of the chorus. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now, it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? Will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Now is the time to be loving our neighbor, because now is the time when the world needs to see God. The world needs to experience an agape kind of love. So as we sing this song, and as we prepare for communion, may you first know how loved you are, and may you secondly know how much potential there is within you to love one another.